the reason for our creation. Now that might sound like a simple statement. I think when it comes to application, then you see challenges. But I think fasting is one of the greatest examples of how we can manifest, how we can live this goal that we all should have, we all should share. Fasting is a great manifestation of worshiping God and submitting to God. In fact, all this time you're fasting, from dawn to sunset, you are in a constant state of worship. And this may not be possible in other acts of worship. If you give charity, you give it for maybe a few minutes and you're done. If you pray, you pray for maybe for a few minutes, could be 5, 10 minutes, and then you're done. But fasting is very special to God, and God loves it so much. And one reason is because it is a constant act of worship. But we have to be aware of one thing. Fasting is not just a physical aspect. Some people think fasting is just, you know, I abstain from food and drink for a certain period of time. This is no doubt one big part of fasting, as you all know now. But there's another component to it. And I think if we combine between these two components, then the fasting will have much more meaning. And you'll enjoy it much more. And you'll have a great spiritual experience. And this is hinted to in a statement by our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In one narration, he told us that when you do the fast, you have to also have two things. One thing is iman, which is faith. So you're fasting, but at the same time, you recollect and you remember that you're doing it for the sake of God. So you do it out of faith, because you want to obey God, because you want to please God. And the other component is hope. And this is mentioned in a narration, like I said. So now you're hoping for God's mercy. So imagine the whole day, yes, it's hard, it's exhausting, it's tiring, but at the same time, you're thinking of, you know, these two elements. I'm doing it for the sake of God. And in fact, in one narration, the Prophet told us that if you fast one day for the sake of God, that God will take you away from the hellfire by 70 years. But that is the important component, to do it for the sake of God. Some people might do it, you know, as a diet maybe, or to lose weight. This is all good. But it becomes much more noble when you do it for the sake of God. And this is the important, in my opinion, the important element of fasting. And the other important component is hope. Hoping that God will have mercy on you. Because some people have despaired from God. Some people, they have quit on God. They think that God cannot help, cannot do anything. He cannot bring a change in our lives. See, Ramadan is a prime time for change. Because you change your whole routine. Especially if you do it for 30 days. See, outside of Ramadan, this month, you have a certain eating habit. You have a certain sleeping habit. When Ramadan comes, Muslims have to change. You have to change your eating habit, but also you have to change your sleeping habit, because we have to pray at night. We pray about 2-3 hours at night. So everything changes. And this is why we say it is a prime time to change everything else you want to change in your life. There's a lot of things you want to change, but you're not strong enough. You don't have a strong will to change them. And I tell you, fasting is one great way to develop a strong will. Because you teach yourself self-discipline, you teach yourself strong will. You know, you crave for this cup of coffee, but you know that you cannot do it. You're craving for, I don't know, a cigarette maybe. Or you're craving for a donut. And sometimes what happens, people become enslaved to these things. They say, yes, I can quit anytime, but you can't. And when that urge comes, you can't stop. So when you see, when you live this training for 30 days, there's a great training for self-discipline. That yes, I can control myself. I am in control of myself. I am in control of my desires. Desires do not rule me. I rule them. And this is an interesting aspect of freedom. Because we talk about freedom all the time. But freedom has many aspects. One aspect of freedom is that you're free to do what you want. Some people think we're free to do whatever we want, but they become enslaved and addicted to certain substances. Well, this is not freedom. Freedom is that you have the will over your desires. And this is one definition of freedom we have in Islam. So it is very important to combine between all those components. and think that fasting is not just an act, a physical act, rather it is a spiritual act, it is a connection with God, it is a way to remember God. And this is one thing interesting about Islam, and the Quran is mentioned when it talks about Moses, for example. When God talked to Moses, he told him, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, that he established the prayer, but what is the reason? What is the goal? He said, to remember me. So one thing we do when we, whatever act of worship we do, whether it's fasting or prayer or charity, there's a goal in mind, and that is to remember God. Fasting is no different. So when we fast, it is a way to remember God, to remember the bounties of God. And I tell you, when you break fast, you're going to remember the bounties of God. You're going to remember the bounty of food and drink. And you're going to like food in a way that you never liked it before. You're going to have, you know, the food will have a special taste. And I tell you, every day, and we do it, you know, 30 days a year, we've done it for many years, but every single day, that food, that same food, has so much different taste, has so much special taste, and you enjoy it so much. And this is actually hinted to by a narration from the Prophet. Upon him, he said in one narration, the Sa'im Farhatan, that the fasting person will have two moments of joy. One moment is when you break fast. And that is not just a physical joy, by the way. It is a sense of accomplishment. Who has accomplished the holy of fast. It's a great sense of accomplishment, one. Number two, it's a great sense of gratefulness and appreciation for the food you have. And you think of all the other people who do not have the freedom to break fast whenever they want. So they're forced to fast. People in Africa, they don't have any, they cannot tell when to eat and not to eat. They're forced to fast on a daily basis. They don't have food. They don't have clean water. So you think of all these blessings at the time when you break fast, when you see all this great food, these great, meals, and mashallah, you have some Muslims, they have so many different dishes on the table, and they indulge in all of that. It's a great time to think of all these misfortunate people. Like I said, fasting is so special in the eyes of God. And in one narration, God tells us that all your actions, any action you do, any action of worship is for you, except fasting is for God. And he claims it for himself. And there is a subtle reason, there is an important reason why it is so special. So when you look at any other act of worship, it has some external element. People can see you worship, people can see you paying charity, people can see you praying or doing a pilgrimage. And then there's an element of show-off, because people can see you, then you might want to show off. You might want to pray for long so people can see you and think you're pious. When it comes to fasting, you can't really show off. It's such a sincere act between you and God. Because anytime you can go and hiding and eat, nobody can stop you. And you can just find an empty room or anything in seclusion, and you can eat. So it's really like a secret between you and God. And this is why it is so special. This is why God likes it and loves it so much. And this is why he said in that narration that, I will tell you how much reward you'll have in this life for all the other actions. But for fasting, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to leave it as a surprise until the day of judgment. Only on the day of judgment, I will tell you how much I have for you. Because fasting also has another important element, which is patience. And patience is so virtuous in the eyes of God. And the Quran tells us, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that the people who have patience on a regular basis, on the day of judgment, God will not have any reckoning with them. He will not ask them what they've done. They go straight to heaven. Because patience is so hard to do. And patience is many, many levels. Patience is, when it comes to obeying God, you need patience. When it comes to avoiding sin, you need patience. When it comes to calamity and hardship, you need patience. But you see, when it comes to fasting, you're really covering all these levels. You're being patient, obeying God. You're being patient, staying away from sin. Because when you're fasting, it's not just fasting from food and drink. It's also fasting from foul language, fasting from harming others, fasting from lying and cheating and backbiting, all the sins of the tongue and of the limbs. So you're avoiding all of that in the time of fasting. And by the way, when you fast, it really helps you get rid of all the other evils. And this is why the Prophet in the same narration said, that fasting is like a shield. It protects you. This is one of the greatest benefits of fasting. The fact that it is like a shield. So you might ask, well, how is it a shield? What is it protecting you from? It protects you from so many things. It protects you from so much evil. You know, when you're eating and drinking and jumping around, you're more likely to do evil. But when you're fasting, and you think, well, I'm fasting from food and drink, which is permissible in all religions. Food and drink is permissible. In general, I mean, there should be some food that is not permissible. In general, all food is permissible. So you're thinking, well, if I'm not doing what is permissible, then isn't it more important to stay away from what is impermissible? Again, in all religions, you have lying is impermissible, cheating is impermissible, backbiting is unlawful. So this is the kind of logical reasoning that goes into your mind. And it works. Many people who are involved in those sins when it comes to the month of Ramadan, out of respect for the time, and out of the fact that they say, well, I'm putting all this effort to stop eating and drinking, which is allowed. Am I not going to stop from the other sins? So you see that fasting is a great shield. It shields you from evil. It shields you from sin. It shields you from your own appetite and, you know, desire that goes beyond normal. And this is why in the month of Ramadan, your body enjoys a great break. I tell you. You don't give it a break outside of Ramadan. You know you should stop, but you don't stop. You overeat. When the month of Ramadan comes, your body has a great break. It says, finally, I can get some break. All this poison you've been injecting in me for the whole year, now I get to rest. And the body starts to cleanse itself. There's some self-cleaning that goes on in this month. And you get a break from caffeine, you get a break from nicotine, you get a break from all this extra fat and sugar, all the toxins. So it's a self-cleaning process. So you see that fasting is a shield from many things, from evil, from, some physical poisoning, if you will. It's a shield from, sin and many more. Now, one thing about fasting as well, and this is also mentioned in another narration, and that really hits the point home. It tells us why God is so pleased with fasting. Why is God so much pleased with our fasting? So in that narration, it says, يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ لِأَجْلِهِ. See, this human, this poor little servant, which is all of us, we are forsaking, we are leaving food, which is so much beloved to us, drink, water, juice, all kinds of drinks, and shahwa, which could imply the intimate relationship with one's spouse. So you're leaving all of that, which is beloved to most all of us, if not all of us. And why are you doing it? The ajli, for my sake. This is the bottom line. This is the bottom line. You're leaving all of that because of God, because you love God. And this is why I say there's a great connection between loving God and fasting. And we should think of all of that, and this is a reminder for myself and all the people who are fasting, Muslims and non-Muslims, that we're doing it, and you know, the bottom line is we're doing it for the sake of God. And this is why God likes it so much, He loves it so much, He considers it as a straight relationship between His servants and Himself. It's like a secret. It's like something that is so rewardable that God appreciates so much that He doesn't want to tell us about. That on the day of judgment, He will tell us this great, great reward awaiting for us. And that There are great moments of joy. Yes, you kind of starve in the middle of the day. You go through hardship. But at the end of the day, even in the day, there's a lot of spiritual joy. And especially when you combine all these elements. If you think of it as just an exercise, as a body exercise, it may not make a lot of sense to you. But when you combine all these elements, it becomes such a rewarding experience in this life before the hereafter. I'm not sure how much I'm supposed to say. Yeah, maybe we should leave it for questions. I don't want to take all the time talking. I hope I gave you a little glimpse on the meaning of fasting, why we fast. And let me finish with this. God told us in the Quran, one of the goals of fasting, and that is to accomplish God consciousness, taqwa, which is God consciousness, and that implies that you stay away from sin. The meaning of the word taqwa, it means that you are conscious of God. It also means that you develop an element of fear from God. Because some people jump onto sins and they have no sense of shame and they don't have any sense of fear from God. So fasting also will help you develop this. So now you watch what you do. And this is really the meaning of taqwa. It's translated as God-fearing or God-consciousness, but it's really to watch your steps, really. That's all it is. And in fasting, you do watch every single step. You're about to eat, and then you remember, oh, I'm fasting, so I'm not going to eat. So you put the food down. You're about to drink, you go to the fridge. It happens to some people, and they're about to drink this glass of water, looks so appealing, and then you remember you're fasting. So you're watching everything, not just what you drink. You're watching what you say. You're watching what you do. You're watching your steps, your walk, what your hands are doing, what your eyes are doing, what your ears are doing. So there's a great amount of self-consciousness in the month of Ramadan. And this is also one of the benefits of fasting. There are many other benefits of fasting. I'm sure maybe you can share some of them. Maybe I did not see or realize some of them, and you can tell me. I'm really interested to hear from people who fasted for the first time, or maybe if not the first time, maybe it is your second or third time. I'm really interested to hear about your experience. I really want to have some sharing of experience amongst us, maybe from Muslims and non-Muslims, because really, for me, since I've been fasting since I was maybe 10 or before 10, maybe my experience is a little different than yours. So we'd like to hear from all of you, inshallah, or many of you. And if there are any questions or any remarks, any feedback, anything, inshallah, we can take it right now. Okay. First of all, we have a statement that the Quran clearly states, وَمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ. And there are two different statements. One that says that Allah Ta'ala does not want, that God does not want to impose any hardship on you.
Brother,
and he also told us,
repeat the question.
Oh, the question. So the question was, living in Arizona, it is especially hard for the people who work outside, especially when it comes to water, because you can't drink if you're fasting. So how could you work around that, right? Pretty much. And I started by stating a fact. We have in Islam, and it is mentioned in the Quran in few verses, where it says that God, the intent of God is not to impose any hardship on you. So this is the first guideline, that the intent of fasting is not to cause hardship on the people. And as a result, we have many concessions in Islam. For example, if somebody is sick, or somebody is not able to fast, and they have a genuine reason, like for example, you're going to dehydrate. In that case, you're allowed to break fast. You don't continue and you say, okay, I'm going to die for the sake of God. You don't do that. You break fast. And in that case, you can make it up later. If in case you have, let's say, a permanent job and you're working every day in the field, you can wait until the winter. Even if you don't have a winter, let's assume, and you have summer all year round. I mean, in Texas, they have a 9-month summer, but it's not the full year. But let's assume there's a country like that, or a land like that. In that case, what you can do, you could do, you can pay what we call a fidya, which is basically feeding a poor person for every day you live. So if you, let's say you couldn't fast for 30 days, you could feed 34 people to make up for the fast you missed. So there's always a way around. The bottom line is, you try your best, but if there is a genuine reason that does not allow you to fast, if your life is in danger, or you think your health is in danger, then no doubt there are other options.
Question?
So it doesn't have any questions. It could be comments, it could be your feelings, you know, it could be anything. Yes?
I just want to share some of my feelings. This is the first time I fasted, and I was speaking to myself last night. I need to get up early and have something before it's not right with the tail. So I started up way into the day and started up on myself. I can actually eat and save it on any food or drink. By the time I'm 7:30, I started to feel good.
A couple comments. One, another concession we have in Islam, let's say you go and you have a sip of water out of forgetfulness. You just forgot and you went and drank or ate. In that case, your fast is valid. It does not break. So you're good. And in fact, it told us in one narration that it is God who fed you. So you get it for free. The other thing, the other comment is, I'm not sure, but I think if you drink and don't eat, what can happen, it can make you more hungry. What happens to the fasting person because you don't drink or eat, like you said, after a while, you lose a sense of hunger. I mean, yes, you're a little weak. You feel a little lazy or weak. And sometimes you feel more energetic, it depends. But, like for example, especially this after lunch hour, I don't feel drowsy anymore. I keep working through lunch, I'm fine. In the regular day, after lunch, that hour is a killer. I mean, you have to, if you don't nap, you have to take a lot of coffee or soda. So, you could, you know, different people have different experiences. But the bottom line is, you do lose that sense of hunger, and right now I'm not feeling hungry at all. But again, what you feel is a little of, a little weakness. And even that you get used to after a while. Like by the end of Ramadan, you get used to it. So first day is hard, next day is a little easy. And then you get used to it, and your body gets used to it. So, I kind of feel bad for you guys, you have to fast one day, so you're all pretty. Anything else? So that was good. Any other? Yes? Any comments on the local side?
We have attention for this field. When we seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
and we meet 50 here in Ramadan, what we eat, and we buy it, and we have the onion and mushroom. Who did we meet?
Last comment, maybe?
Oh, last comment, or a question, or a rebuttal, whatever. Speak up.
Small comment.
Sure.
Usually, when you fast, since you deprive yourself of food and drink, God gives you a blessing within your body so that you can sustain the hunger and thirst. In that sense, somebody who obtain from himself from drinking and food, it's different the type of resistance he will have than the person who does it because of it's a command and obeyment for God. So when you do that, God makes your body to resist that type of thirst and hunger, and so it becomes a blessing for you. And in that sense, you won't feel that type of hunger as other people kind of feel about it.
Okay. Well, what you've waited for is coming along. So hopefully we'll have the adhan, the call to prayer, and then we break fast. And do we have a big meal? Okay. Yeah, nobody's hoping. I was hoping. One of my hopes was that we have a good, delicious meal. Thank you all for coming. It's really been an honor to address you and to listen to you. And I hope that it was a really rewarding experience for all of you, every single one of you. And I do hope that you repeat the experience again in the future. It may not be this year, but maybe next year. The only thing is, Ramadan is pushing to the summer, so it's only going to get a little hard before it gets better. But you know, in a few years, it'll go back to the spring, and then it'll be easier, and the days will be shorter, and I hope we have more participation at the time. Thank you all for coming, and God bless you.
We have 3 minutes for breakfast, so the breakfast will be downstairs, so we would like to welcome you downstairs.
In the courtyard.
In the courtyard.